Hello, everybody. Welcome to March. It's March 1st, 2018. My name's Robin O'Neill, and I love you. Let's start with that. I love you. I feel for you. I get it. I hate it right along with you. I seriously hate it. I would beat him up for you if I could, okay? How are you? How's life? Good? Not good? Medium? How's your energy level? Physical energy, 1 to 12, 12 being highest. Where are you? Physical energy for me, I fought through some extreme exhaustion this afternoon and got my studio goals done. My energy level after eating lunch was about a 2 out of 12. My energy level right now, we're getting into the nighttime hours, which means my energy's coming back. It's 7 p.m. My energy's at about an 8.9. In about 2 hours, we're going to be at a full 12. So if you were here to witness what's going to happen as a result of that, you'd be impressed. Mental energy? I don't know what mental energy means, really. My mental energy is a little hazy, honestly, maybe 4.4. But again, we're getting into nighttime mode. We're gonna get excited about things. We're going to start reading more things. At night, I allow myself also to kind of weave back and forth between drawing and reading, and then looking at things, TV, movies, whatever. I kind of have this nice rhythm that only starts at night. I've realized what that is. It's this sort of, it's a weaving in and out of things. It's all very exciting and inspiring to me. Whereas during the day, there's just too much shit going on, too much life. Reality continues to ruin my life, to quote, what's his name? Watterson? Calvin and Hobbes guy? What's his name? Hold on. Tom Watterson? I don't know his name. I'm so sorry. But I love that quote. Bill Watterson. My apologies. I am so sorry. So, so sorry. I get a lot of things wrong lately, and I'm totally cool with that. Because you know what? I get a lot of things right as well. Current obsessions. I just want to get a few things off of my chest. Microwavable heating pads. You guys do this? I learned this from my mom, and I am now, I want like 200 of them. They're little bean bag type things that you put in your microwave for 2 minutes, and then you put them on your stomach. If you have a stomach ache, you put them on your knee. If you have a knee ache, most often for me, I put them on my neck, on the back of my neck. I also put them on my hand and my elbow after I draw. I kind of probably shouldn't do that. I probably should do cold, honestly, but whatever. Anyway, they're amazing. I wish I had a full-sized body one to put on my body. I guess that's what a heat-up blanket is. What are those called? Heat-up blankets. I don't need one of those here in Los Angeles. Otherwise, I would love to live in a climate like that. Oh, electric blanket. That's it. I do have a gravity blanket. You guys know about these? It's a heavily weighted blanket. It's almost, if you know Temple Grandin's work with cows during slaughter, it's sort of like that during your sleep. That sounds negative, but it's not. It's like Temple Grandin invented the gravity blanket for humans like me. All right, what else is going on with me? I thought I had toenail fungus. I didn't. Turned out my nails were just a little bit dry on my toes. I got really freaked out. Those are the kind of things that'll start to really upset me. But it was not toenail fungus. Also, speaking of disgusting things on your skin and nails, I've talked a lot about eczema. It's been a big battle for me over the last year and a half, if you remember. I had this one stubborn part of eczema, on my kind of near my nose, on my cheek area. And it was just a red mark, but it would not go away. It was driving me crazy. It was like a red dry mark, maybe the size of, like a fourth of a nickel, that size. And honestly, I did everything. I've gone to the dermatologist. I've looked up every natural remedy. I've done everything. It's been there for a year, over a year. And about 3 weeks ago, I said to it, in the mirror, I was like, you know what? We're done. This is it. I don't like you anymore. Before anybody gets hurt, let's just put an end to this. I basically broke up with my little patch of eczema. And I'm not kidding you. 2 or 3 days later, it's gone. and it's been gone ever since. It's incredible. So I don't know. I should have done that a long time. I wish I would have known. I don't know where I got this trick, but I made it up. Okay, we got to read something, and I've got a good one for you today. Okay, a lot of you, I know a lot of you listeners love Clarice Lispector, and I'm going to be reading from Near to the Wild Heart. This is a New Directions book published in 2012, but originally this book, for those of you who don't know, was published in 1943. I do want to note as well, this is translated by Alison Entrekin, I think is how you say her name, from the Portuguese. I always love mentioning the translators. And this is Clarice Lispector's first novel. She was in her early 20s when this was published, and it is about a young girl named Joanna. We follow her from her childhood into early adulthood. I really don't have words for what it's kind of an indescribable book. People say it's stream of consciousness, and it is, but I think that doesn't... I wish I wouldn't have said that just now, because I think that gives it a... Anyway, by the way, Clarice Lispector, born in 1920, died in 1977. She was born in the Ukraine, but moved to Brazil right away as a baby, and... So I think she lived in Brazil almost her whole life, except for a brief stint in Washington, D.C. So here I go. I'm going to read one of my favorite passages from the early part of the book, and I'm not going to describe much about anything or anyone in this book. I'm just going to read this and end it. Okay. The last sunlight trembled outside in the green branches. The pigeons scratched the loose earth. From time to time, the breeze and the silence of the school courtyard reached the classroom. Then everything became lighter. The teacher's voice floated like a white flag. This is a quote. And he and his whole family lived happily ever after, end quote. Pause. The trees rustled in the garden. It was a summer's day. Write a full summary of this story for our next class. Still immersed in the story, the children moved slowly, eyes light, mouths satisfied. What do you get when you become happy? Her voice was a clear, sharp arrow. The teacher looked at Joanna. Repeat the question? Silence. The teacher smiled as she stacked up the books. Ask it again, Joanna. I didn't hear you properly. I'd like to know, once you're happy, what happens? What comes next? She repeated obstinately. The woman stared at her in surprise. What a thought. I don't think I know what you mean. What a thought. Ask it again in other words. Being happy is for what? The teacher flushed. No one was ever sure why she went red. She noticed the whole class and sent them off for their break. The janitor came to call Joanna to the office. The teacher was there. Have a seat. Did you play a lot? A little. What do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know. Well, look, I too had a thought, she blushed. Get a piece of paper, write down that question that you asked me today, and put it away for a long time. When you are big, read it again. She looked at her. Who knows? Maybe one day you'll be able to answer it yourself somehow. Her serious expression faded. She blushed. Or maybe it doesn't matter, and at least you'll be amused by no. No what? The teacher asked, surprised. I don't like being amused, said Joanna proudly. The teacher flushed again. Fine, go play. When Joanna had reached the door in two skips, the teacher called her again, this time blushing down to her neck, her eyes low, shuffling papers on the desk. Didn't you think it was odd, funny that I told you to write the question down to keep? No, she said. She turned back to the courtyard. I pointed at that last no there with my pencil and I said, I want to be Joanna. I'm nothing like Joanna. I was never obstinate with any authority figure. I was never good at questioning authority figures. I was just like, I do what I'm told. Surprisingly, as you would think, I don't know, maybe you would think of an artist type like me. Artist type? Well, I'm an artist. I don't know. You would think I would be more rebellious in my spirit, but I'm actually not at all, sadly. And I regret it terribly, honestly. By the way, I also have a note. Let me read this. I remember I was reading this on the plane, I think, to New York or Ohio this past couple of months, and I was listening to these two people in front of me. They would not stop talking, and I was trying to read, but I also kind of liked their conversation. They were very excited to talk to one another. And okay, this one says, man, but my kids all like pasta. And the woman said, we have, we have some twins who like pasta a lot. And then the guy said, do they like Caesar salad too? And the woman said, I don't know. That's as good as this Lee Spector, almost. Not really. I'm so sorry, Clarice. God bless you. Okay. What is up? I'm already at 10 and a half minutes. That's horrible. Let me ask you a few questions. I'm still on the murder tip because I am listening to My Favorite Murder constantly. So I've wondered, have you ever known a murderer? I have not, but weirdly enough, I just realized I did meet somebody on an airplane once back in the day when I was too young to know to, with my body language, tell people, I am not talking to you on this plane. We are not here to make friends on this plane. We are here to read, take notes, and write postcards to friends. We are not going to interact with human beings. But I did meet this one dude, and oh my God, I don't remember. I think I was flying home from San Francisco. I have written myself an email about this. I'll have to revisit it. And he admitted to killing somebody to me on the plane. Admitted to being a white supremacist and that he killed somebody. I don't know who he killed. And he said he was even written about in Texas Monthly Magazine. So I don't know if I was able to find that article or what, but it was a weird airplane ride home. So have you ever known a murderer? I guess I have. Let's see. What else? Oh, I know. Who is the person who's taught you the most in your life? I mean, either intellectually or otherwise, life lessons. I would have to say for sure it's my dad. My dad is a great advice giver, and I notice a lot of the things I do that are probably the best things I do in life, which are not many, but I look at people in the eyes and I shake hands well and I'm, you know, whatever. I don't know. Those are things my dad taught me, and I think those are some of the things I value the most about myself, oddly enough. And I don't know. So who is your person? Speaking of my dad, he's the only person I've had on as a guest, but here's another question. And you guys all loved my dad. Andrew Weatherhead, writer. Oh, by the way, we're reading Andrew Weatherhead's upcoming book, Todd, a portion of that book, either this weekend or next week. And I cannot wait to share that with you. I've read Andrew Weatherhead on here before. I love him. He's a writer I love and a person I love. So we're going to put him on the podcast soon. So look forward to that. And anyway, I remember Andrew really liked my dad. And it made me so happy. My dad, on the last time I had him on around Christmas time, it was a good interview with my dad. Who else would you like? Would you guys like me to have people on? Yes or no? It's okay if you say no. I've always said this is my podcast. I'm not having guests. And then occasionally I think my dad's hilarious. I love asking my dad questions. And he loves asking me questions. He always has. He would ask me so many questions when I was a kid. Anyway, that's about all I've got for today, you guys. Thank you for checking in with me. Hit me up on Instagram or Twitter anytime at @robyn_oneil. I just posted a photo of the view from my where I record this podcast. You'll see a whole bunch of books, including this Clarice Lee Spector book, probably right on the top. Sometimes you have to drive the car even though it's making a sound. That's a David Drury quote. I love it. I am driving this car, even though it's making quite a few sounds right now. And I will find peace. I will hear angels. And I will see the sky sparkling with diamonds, probably tomorrow at dusk, because that's what it looks like it does up in the Hollywood Hills that I have a view of. That's all I've got, everybody. I love you so much. I want you to take good care of yourselves. Drink lots of water. Eat some pizza. And celebrate life while admitting that it sucks at the same time. That's my thing. That's what we're going to do this week, okay? All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.